This is GamesAtWork.biz with your hosts, Phaedra Boydaderis, Sandy Carney, Michael Martin, and Michael Rowe. This is your weekly podcast about gamification, gaming technology, and play. The thoughts and opinions expressed on this podcast are those of the hosts and guests alone, not of any organization which we have been, are, or will be affiliated. This is episode 105, Glad to be of service, and was recorded on Friday, the 16th of January, 2015.
Welcome to the year 2015. This is our first broadcast of GamesAtWork.biz for this year. And yay. I am Phaedra Boynodiris, and I'm joined here by my erstwhile co-host, Michael Martin. How you doing today?
Erstwhile. How about current and with you all the time? You know, I'm here. Hi, Phaedra.
Hi.
And we're missing our co-host Sandy and Michael for this first recording, but you know, things are as they are. We hope Michael feels better soon, and we'll hoping to catch Sandy soon too. So we've got a rip-roaring start to the year. We were in different places and in different countries, and now we're kind of together and back, and we're gearing up for some major pieces of work that are coming forward. So Phaedra, I'm so thrilled to hear that you're going to be a big speaker at an upcoming IBM conference called Interconnect.
Yes, I'm going to be back in the lovely city of Las Vegas in February. So that should be a lot of fun. And I'm going to be showcasing a lot of really cool games up on main stage. So if you happen to be in Vegas, or if you're happening to be at that conference, please do look me up, and we can go soak our feet in the jacuzzi over at the Venetian. One of my favorite things to do whilst there.
That'll be awesome. Michael, I'm sure, would say to be very careful about which jacuzzi you use, because one of the reasons he's not here is that he was in Vegas for CES and is, as it seems happens to him every single time, is feeling under the weather due to the CES crud.
Oh, no. I'm sorry to hear that. Sorry. I was referring to the outdoor jacuzzis. Just to be specific. Outdoor, the garden jacuzzis. I think it's by Bouchon. Anyway, prime spot. Don't tell anybody.
Okay, no, we'll keep it our little secret here.
It's our little secret. Us and our listeners.
Yes. One of the things that Michael did share with you and me ahead of the show, too, was a piece that was on NPR this morning, a National Public Radio, about a guy who has founded a card game. And no, it's not Cards Against Humanity this time. It's a different card game. And the card game is called Rejection Therapy. And the background, the origin story of this particular character was really interesting, because they shared how his wife left him. He was feeling terribly depressed and all alone, and he recognized in the depths of an evening or morning or whenever it was, he was by himself, is like, what is wrong with me? Why can't I go and kind of restart my life? And he realized that he was afraid of talking to people, and he was afraid of rejection. So he created this game. And you said you had a chance to go poke around the website a little bit. So you want to share a little bit more of your impressions on this card game and why you think it's cool?
I think it's interesting. Basically, there's one rule, and that is you must be rejected by another person at least once every single day. And now, mind you, it doesn't say you must attempt or try to be rejected. You just need to be rejected. So rejection in this case is success.
And it turns the world upside down, doesn't it? You know, the radio broadcast said today that reality is what you make it. You can subscribe to whatever version of reality that you might want. And by taking rejection as success, if you go up to a stranger on the street and ask them if they would give you a ride across town and they tell you no, you're like, okay, thanks.
Check.
I'm winning.
That's interesting. And of course, the first case somebody brought up on the website was, okay, help me out with dating because I'm terrified to talk to women. So can this game be tailored towards the dating scene? And I think it's all good. It's all good. I was helping a friend just last weekend with her first foray into online dating, and one of the questions that she asked was, so if I'm interested in somebody that I see online, should I message them? And I'm like, yes. Yes, absolutely. Message, don't be afraid of rejection. That's the point. So,
Oh, well, I mean, unless you're on something like Tinder, where you could just say, I am interested, and let the software behind the scenes say if they're interested too.
right. Agreed.
Cool. So I'm really happy that that was on the radio this morning because I actually stayed in the car. I was listening to the whole story, and then I was like, okay, I can now jump out of my car. And there was a lady at the coffee shop who went in, got her coffee, came back and saw me still sitting there, and probably thought, what is this creepy guy doing sitting in his car? And I almost thought I was going to go ask her if she had some gum or something, just to see if yeah, the rejection.
Can I get rejected?
Can I get rejected too? This would be awesome.
That's
So I
funny.
had one other thing that I've been noodling on here, and it's not just me. There are other people at work that have been engaged in this for a while, and I just think this is one of the most fabulous things, and it's application personification. So many of us, many of the listeners to this show would be able to remember the Douglas Adams descriptions of the doorways that are always so glad to be of service when you walk through them, or the Marvin, the paranoid android, which is maybe a little bit more of an application or multiple application personification, but the concept that has been raised here, and again, I love this, right? Because it's a combination of social, it's a combination of just giving an application that your user community uses on a regular basis, an identity, a face, a personality, a backstory, and a history, and allow that application then to interact with its user population. So you might be able to share about, when you're up and down and you're anticipating going to be for out of order for service or for an upgrade. Or you might be able to just interact with your user population in the character of the application itself. So if you're like a finance application, you might be one of those stereotypical green shaded kind of people that are very, very serious about the numbers and very persnickety. Or if you're a sales and marketing one, you could be gregarious. And just the initial forays in this have to me seemed to be super cool of allowing people to take on that role and then act as that application's personality when interacting with others. So I thought you might find that kind of interesting, Phaedra, as a different slant on something that we've seen some other slants on from a non-player character kind of mode in other spaces before.
Do you remember when we had a show with Ross Smith from Microsoft?
Oh yes, I remember Ross well.
Yes, as soon as you mentioned personification of applications, I always think of him and sort of what he did at the, with the buildings. He, for those who didn't hear that show, what he did was he set up these consoles by elevator banks and drinking water fountains in different buildings. And each building had different consoles associated with a specific personality type. And his test, he wanted to see if he could use just the power of personality to get people to drink water or take the stairs instead of the elevator. And it would be something really, really simple. So if you walked by the water fountain and didn't take a drink, it the there would be a face that would pop on the screen, sort of a sad, frowny face, and it would make the sound, and just from such a simple little thing, he said people started to drink more water from that water fountain to keep this personality happy than they had ever done before, by a huge factor. So I thought that that was a lesson for all of us, a good lesson.
Yeah, I remember that show well. I think it was we called it Bubbly Bubblers or something like that.
Yes.
And it was really neat that way because the buildings themselves, through the exhibited personality, helped to build community of the people that were in those buildings because they were all new buildings and new teams moving into them. So I loved Ross's explanation of this too, and there are other links on that page. I'll include that in the show notes that you could go back and see how other people from Ross's team presented what they did, and those videos are well worth watching as well. So I did think about that too when first hearing about the application personification, and for companies that have dozens or hundreds or dare I say even thousands of applications supporting their business. This is an interesting way to help people interact with the application and interact with the brand and the personality of it, much like you can interact with a brand on Twitter, like your favorite, restaurant or an airline or whatever. You're interacting with a person, you know that, but they are taking on the persona of the entire brand when they communicate with you.
Ah, interesting. Very interesting.
So I was thinking about that too when I was on my way back from Hong Kong. I had just a fantastic experience with a couple of the American Airlines flight attendants. And American has had this program for quite a while where you can recognize great service from any one of the American Airlines population, and you hand them just this little slip of paper. It's got your contact information on it from their Advantage program, so that they know who was the person who recognized the people on the flight, and a tiny little bit of space where you can share, what was it that was so special. And so I did that, and then I thought, well, gosh, I'm sitting in the airport in Dallas after a 16-hour flight,
Oh, Jesus.
and so I was back on, back on the internets, here, and I thought, well, I could also interact with Twitter, right, and just share with the American Airlines brand on Twitter the fantastic experience that I had with Cindy and I'm trying to remember the name of the other attendant, but anyway, it was great, to be able to do that and then just share a little bit more and just have that interaction back and forth and to say something nice, which I'm sure they appreciated too, because Twitter is a customer service dealing with a lot of people who are upset with something and they're looking for the social help via Twitter.
Right.
So it's nice to do a recognition like that every once in a while.
Agreed. And there's been some really interesting research and work that has come out regarding social sentiment analysis with Twitter and being able to gauge, what are people happy with, not so happy with, using an AI to sort of gauge the power and force of certain words. So I think it's interesting how it will be used more and more.
Krista, I think was the name of the other one, if I remember right. I'll have to check, right? The tweets are out there. So I like the idea of interacting with brands, and I think interacting with applications can be really fun too, especially where some applications have some interesting nuances to them that will then form and allow a personality to develop over time.
I think speaking of that, in addition to this, the application personality, I think there's also a special intersection with regards to cognitive computing and applications and what can be done there. I've been seeing more and more trends in this respect where you can not only gauge what user preferences are from cognitive computing, but also what is their level of competency? What are their, what is it that they can do? What is it that they're likely to do with predictive analytics? And then you auto-generate solution experiences based on that. So it could really, I mean, if you think about the way that people are taught today, right? You hear about custom learning pathways, but this concept of not only their preferences, what kind of a learner they are, what do they prefer in terms of their style, but also what are they ready for? So I think that could be really an interesting space to watch.
I love that. I mean, the thing that's hit me as you were saying this was in the old Zork days, you know, you could turn on maximum verbosity, right? So you would get all the details of everything that was going on, kind of like you do with a voicemail system. You can turn on full prompts, full description, full everything. Well, what if the system could be, because of its cognitive interactions with you, determine what's the right level of interaction and
Right.
tailor the user experience to the user based upon the way that the user is using the environment?
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. And then I think you can get the personality in there too. Like, what, which personality actually works for you at which points in time? It just imagine it could completely revolutionize the customer experience too.
Oh, absolutely. I mean that could be great. Although you could find out you're dealing with the same personality on multiple systems with multiple vendors or stores or whatever, and you're like, I'm always dealing with the same person no matter where I go.
Why?
Why?
Why the British accent?
I like it, but why? Oh, how cool. Well, I know we are off to a fantastic year. 2015 promises to hold for all of us new surprises, new ways of doing things.
The year of the goat.
It's the year of the goat. What, well, not quite. That's going to be in February.
That's true. That's true.
So
In February, Chinese year of the goat.
this will be an interesting endeavor in a lot of different ways. Cybersecurity, different games people are playing, new learning styles, ways of matching skills with other skills and complementary and it's going to be super.
Agreed. In fact, there's one company that has come across our radar called Gravitalent, which actually has a really a casual game that looks and feels kind of like the World of Goo. You remember that game?
I do. And one of the last sessions that we recorded for Games at Work was actually with David Silhavi and his co-founder in Budapest.
Oh, I missed
So
that show.
So that's in our history, and I was really excited to speak with them this morning and know and learn a little bit more about what they've done in the meantime, and that they are going to be part of the sessions with you in February at Interconnect.
Yes. So we're going to be showcasing their game and how it can be used to assess personality profiles. But I think also, beyond recruiting and assessment, using it to see who's a complementary personality to you, so that as a dynamic duo or a dynamic team, an optimal team, you really have a much better chance at reaching successes. I think that whole concept is super cool.
Yeah, I do too. You know, one of the programs that I was operating on here at work, a project, one of my colleagues said, I have found the perfect evil twin for you. And that was the phrase. And you know what? It's kind of stuck, and it works well because you need complementary people who have strengths where you don't, and that's how you build an amazing team.
Right, very true. Evil twin, that's funny.
You know that they might be Giant Song with that, right?
That's too funny, too.
So looking forward to you getting a chance of seeing David again, and I hope that I get a chance to do that before too long myself.
Oh, I hope so. He's really a great guy. He's really a great guy.
All right. Well, I think we're about out of time for today. So I hope that you have a great start to your year, you listening audience, you. And we're eager to hear what you'd like us to hear and to talk or talk about and exchange more thoughts and insight and discussion on. You can reach us in a plethora of ways, whether it's on snail mail or Twitter or phone calls or Skype or anything. So do drop us a line. Let us know what you're curious about, what your 2015 is going to shape up to look like, what big open technology thoughts you might have, and we'll be happy to address them here on gamesatwork.biz.
Sounds good. Peace out.
See ya.
You've been listening to gamesatwork.biz, the podcast about gaming technology and play. We are part of the Blueberry Podcasting Network and would like to thank the band Random Encounters for their song, Big Blue. You can follow us on Twitter at gamesatwork_biz or at our website at gamesatwork.biz.